It's not a cartoon. It's anime. Yes.
Ooh, shoot. Almost swallowed the mic. Oh. Jeez. Welcome to another episode of Animation. Squad is back with three quarters. You know what I'm saying? Myself, Rob, Ice.
Pretty good.
No. Oh, as Brennan, because he's in either ATL, Detroit. I know he's out there doing some things, filming some stuff, doing some work. But he's still a hoe.
He's not from Detroit, Keenan.
I'm saying that's where I said where that's where he's from. I mean, I said that's where he's at. I didn't say that's where he's from.
But he's his family isn't there though.
Oh, Flint. I'm sorry.
They're in Flint.
Yeah.
He's in Flint. Always,
okay.
Maybe.
He always says I'm not from Detroit.
Okay. My bad. He's not. I didn't say he was, but my bad. I say he should have been in Flint instead of in Detroit. My
there
bad.
We go.
Yeah, there he is. Welcome to another episode of the Animation. You know what we're doing here? We do one off. We talk our shit. We do debates, all that stuff. And this a week guy. We are reviewing.
It's still not recording.
It is on me. I'm not recording the Zoom. I'm recording into this. You're good.
Okay.
Oh, we're good.
Okay. I thought that's okay. Cool.
We're good.
All right. This a week out. Take two in this bitch. We are reviewing Yasuke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go on.
I mean,
is it Yasuke?
Yasuke. Yeah,
Yasuke.
Yasuke.
The way it's spelled is Yasuke. Yasuke.
Here we go again. I was just saying something about it in the chat. Too.
I feel like...
Hey, man.
You and these names, man.
Hey.
You and these names.
Me and these names is everybody in these names.
Yeah.
None of us getting these names correct.
Absolutely. This show, I felt like, was a primer for me in Japanese names. I felt like I got the names this week. I feel very confident about my pronunciations for the first time in a long time.
Hey, if it's... Yasuke, hey man, it still ain't a black name, and he's black, all right? So, hey, I ain't tripping on that, all right?
I think you get the worst of the names because you talk the most outside of Rob. So it's like you say the names more frequently than we do. So it just looks like you have the worst time with the names.
He's taking the most shots, you know what I mean? So, high volume.
This deserves every bit of mispronunciation. Anyways, so Brennan is not here. I'm going to do a little bit of actuals.
Yes.
It's not going to be too thorough, but I'm going to talk about just a little bit of the actual character, Yusuke. And
actuals.
And then
actuals.
And then I'm going to talk about, you know, how the anime came about a little bit. So 1579, man. Yusuke arrived to Japan. You know, you cut the eyes of, I think it's Oda Nobunaga.
Nobunaga.
I'm sure I'm butchering that shit. And you know, pretty much, you know, he when they saw him, this dude, his stature, he was huge compared to like, pretty much everybody else there. They were probably around on average 5 foot to 5'2", maybe.
Wow.
And he was 6'2", so he looked like a giant. He clearly, when he was there, you know, he caught eyes. What's crazy is that they can't give the actual evidence of where he's from. They don't know exactly where he actually came from. There's sure. So many different places. They said he could be from Congo, Ethiopia, Angola. They don't know where he came from. They, you know, of course they're assuming it was from slavery too. He was mm-hmm. That's how you know he was over there and stuff like that. He was such like a giant, and people wanted to see him so much that a lot of people in Japan actually, you know, some people died trying to watch him because it was like. Stand on top of buildings and houses that were like, you know, the buildings weren't necessarily sturdy.
Right.
Like the top of them.
We're talking
like
1500s architecture. Yeah.
So, like, a lot of people would stand on top of them and they would pretty much crush the building and they crush people in the bottom.
That's crazy.
Yeah, just to see this guy. It's crazy. But he definitely.
I didn't know Japan took part in slavery stuff.
I mean, I feel like.
Well, I think he came over with like a Dutch tradesman or somebody like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
So he was still the Europeans.
Yeah, he was pretty much with somebody. So I mean, he fought in some historical wars, against the Takeda clan. That was one of the most historical war I think he fought in.
Mm-hmm.
And man, this is let me tell you something. This He got one of the biggest honors, and he got invited to what was it called? The where am I shit at? He rose to the ranks to be the first black samurai. Okay, let me just say that he rose through the ranks to be the first black samurai.
He was, which is an honor.
Yeah, I think pretty much the only black samurai too, right?
Yes.
And then when he got there, he actually spoke Japanese already. Mm-hmm.
He
spoke a little bit of Japanese already. So that's why I want to know his real backstory, because there's different books, but nobody has the full context of where he's from or how he got started with that. He received one of the highest honors, which is where he got asked to dine with Nobunaga.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he actually got asked to dine with them as a samurai. That is one of the highest honors you can definitely get. And he got that because they said he was a beast with that sword, man. He wasn't playing no fucking games out here. So yeah, I said he's 6'2". And they also he inspired a award winning children's book too. Loose, not really based on him, like mm-hmm. I guess kind of based on maybe him being a samurai in black, but the story told isn't necessarily what it was.
Sort of like a tall tale or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know, folktale type stuff. So let's get into some, I guess, about the anime. The guys that kind of got to and created it was LaShawn Thomas. Lakeith Stanfield's a producer on it. Mm-hmm. But LaShawn Thomas, man, this guy, you know his work. Boondocks, Black Dynamite the anime.
Wow.
The Legend of Korra.
Okay, wow, yeah.
Yeah. Children of Ether, Cannon Busters. That's another black anime that was on Netflix, but the Netflix produced. So he's got his resume is extensive. He ain't playing no games out here mm-hmm. in the streets. He actually founded this story. When he was younger, what happened was he came across a story in 1968 in a children's book. The children's book is called Kurosuke. That's what they kind of what they called him. In the story, they called it. He had like two different names. They called him his name or Kurosuke.
Okay.
It's by the author I'm butchering these goddamn names. Kurosu. I'm just gonna say like a West Coast dude. Kurosu. Yoshio. Damn, I'm butchering this bitch.
Honestly, this is par for the course with how Brennan does his actual. So yeah. Like these names, we struggle. All of us struggle with these.
So pretty much, Thomas, like he saw the illustrations of a real life African warrior and was just that arrived like in the 16th century in Japan. He was just like, bro, like who is this guy? And I love the fact that when he saw this, he wanted to make a story. And Thundercat was behind this. I mean, I'm not Thundercat. I'm sorry, Flying Lotus. Mm-hmm. They saw this. And they were like, yo, they watch anime, I guess. And they were just like, bro, we're tired of seeing these stereotypical black kind of animes and how they're drawn with their hands and their lips extra big like Mr. Popo. Guys out here looking fucking crazy. And they were like, we're going to make sure these guys are not drawn that way. So he did a good job.
I never forgive DBZ for that.
Never at all. Music done by Flying Lotus and Thundercat. As you know, they are some of the dopest producers out there. And definitely inspired by Samurai Champloo. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty much it for my factuals. I didn't go too extensive.
I didn't really get Samurai Champloo vibes.
No, I said that's what they were. They said they were inspired by it. But we're going to get into all that shit, Ice.
No, I'm talking about from a musical standpoint. I think
Ice, we're going to get into all that shit. That's what I'm saying. We're going to get into all the shits. All right. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it for the factuals. 6 episodes, man, that Netflix did. Hearing that there might be a part 2 or whatever to this to continue it on. Also, the animation was done by MAPPA Studios. I almost forgot that. But, you know, MAPPA Studios, they got their hands in the dopest shit right now.
Yeah.
Jujutsu Kaisen, season 4 of Attack on Titan. So they know what they're doing on the animation side of things. Mm-hmm. Rob.
Yes, sir.
You said that he saw this in 68?
That's what my factual said, yeah.
That's where he saw the book. He
came across he came across the 1968 children's book. So I'm sorry, I don't know when.
So the Booker, the book is older.
68, yeah. But I'm sorry about that. It actually doesn't say the date that he came across it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if he came across it within when he was a kid or someone recently.
Because I took him as like a younger guy, like in his 30s.
I don't know if he's necessarily. I don't see an age on him, but born in 75, so not that young.
Okay, he's older then.
Yeah. But yeah, man, that's the end of the factual actuals or wactual actuals, whatever the fuck you want to call them. I don't care.
I thought they were pretty good. Hey,
decent.
Factual actuals, wactual actuals, it don't matter. We're still the greatest fucking anime podcast in the entire world.
Okay. Right.
That was very delayed for whatever reasons it was delayed for. But yeah, man, Rob, Get into your Rob recap.
Yeah, so we'll get into the story breakdown here. Story starts in an alternate historical Japan, so we are definitely not dealing with the actual history or the events at all.
Out the gate.
Demonic armies are fighting side by side with giant mechs, and, you know, we just see that, you know. This demonic army is attacking a castle and is being held back by essentially this one dude wielding, like, this blue magic. And he's overwhelmed, however, when this dark general leading the army, this guy named Mitsuhide, is given some kind of unholy strength by this shadowy figure lurking behind the army. And inside the castle, the warlord Nobunaga is getting hammered, just getting rip-roaring drunk, knowing the end is near. And his personal bodyguard, the samurai Yasuke, tells him, hey, we can still fight this out. But Nobunaga instead commits seppuku, leaving Yasuke to cut off his head and finish the job while the castle just burns down around them. So Yasuke wakes up 20 years later having nightmares about this event. Nowadays, he works as a boatman, fishing and giving people rides up and down the river, you know, then basically drinking his pay away at the bar. The one friend he seems to have is this boy named Ichiro, who badly wants to be a samurai so he can go fight the daimyo, this dark figure that lurked behind the battle is, you know, since taken control of Japan. So Ichiro begs Yasuke to help train him, but he refuses. Later, Ichiro meets up with his friend Saki, the sickly girl, but when they play, she activates the same blue magic we saw in the battle and breaks Ichiro's sword, and he's shocked by this. Saki's mother, Ichika, who's, you know, a musician at the bar, sees this and knows she has to take her to see this doctor that lives to the far north. Meanwhile, this large Russian woman named Nikita is looking for a woman and small girl, and we know who she's looking for. So, not knowing she's already in danger, Ichika asks Yusuke to take her and Saki north on his boat to see the doctor. He refuses at first, saying it's too dangerous, but when he remembers how helping a young boy in the past brought him to Nobunaga's service and out of slavery, he changes his mind and says he'll help him out. In another flashback, Yasuke trains at Nobunaga's and is approached by Natsumaru. She's a samurai as well, and the older sister of the boy he helped. She thanks him, and a connection between them begins. Back in the present, Yasuke, Ichika, Saki, they're headed north on the river, but they're attacked by Nikita and her fellow bounty hunters, this red-haired woman named Ishikawa, this, like, glitchy mech thing named Haruto, and a shaman named Achoja. So the hunters attack, trying to get at Saki, and Yusuke fights pretty well, you know, holds him back, even though Nikita transforms into a werebear. But when Ichika gets shot by Haruto, Saki freaks out and sends out a magic blast that just sends everybody flying. Yasuke tries to grab onto Ichika in the chaos, but only manages to grab her necklace. We flash back again to Nobunaga's castle when Mitsuhide is still working for the warlord. And he's complaining, you know, that the enemy is going to stop respecting and fearing them if Nobunaga keeps adding outsiders to the ranks and refuses to acknowledge either Yasuke or Natsumaru, a black woman or a black man and a woman, as true samurai, hinting at his eventual betrayal. Afterwards, Yasuke notices Natsumaru wears this necklace. It's her family crest, and it's the same symbol on the necklace that he just grabbed off of Ichika. So in the present, we find out the bounty hunters are being paid by this killer priest to find Saki. They complain to him that, you know, hey, you didn't warn us about this crazy magic this girl has. And he's like, I need her to take control of the Catholic Church, and I'll pay you whatever I can, like whatever you want.
It's always some religious weird stuff.
So just whatever you want, I'll pay it. Just bring her back to me. So Yasuke and Saki find each other, but there's no sign of Ichika. That night, Yasuke thinks back on the past battle where he slew a ton of enemies who refused to recognize him as a samurai, and when he looks down at the dead, he sees one of the men wearing the same symbol as the necklace. The next day, Yasuke takes Saki back to the village, and you know that they started out in, and Saki wants to go back to find the doctor, but Yasuke's like, okay, I don't know who the doctor is or where he is. You don't know who the doctor is or where he is. Ichika's probably dead, so we're done here. Saki runs off in tears. Yasuke just goes back to the bar to drink. Soon, though, the priest and his bounty hunter show up, ask him where Saki is. The priest says she's this chosen one of prophecy that's going to save his people, but he left her in Ichika's care while she was sick. He's like, listen, man, I'm not telling you anything, and a fight breaks out, and unarmed and outnumbered, the bounty hunters defeat Yasuke and capture him. And they claim to the village that he killed Ichika and drag him off, while Nikita and Haruto split off to go find Saki. Priest ties up Yasuke in a church, tries to beat the information out of him, but he's just giving him nothing. So the priest shows he actually has some mutant powers of his own that allow him to electrocute his victims. Things get a little messy there for a while. Meanwhile, the other two hunters find Saki, but she manages to escape, hiding in a fish cart, so the werebear can't smell her. In the woods, Saki runs into Ichiro, a few boys, and they tell her that, you know, Yasuke murdered Ichika, and she's like, no, that's not what happened. But as she gets angry thinking about what happened, she sends out another magic blast, throwing Ichiro back, injuring him very badly, and she gets scared and just runs off. back with Yasuke. He's still giving the priest nothing, but is clearly near death. And he thinks back to the battle where he confronted Natsumaru about sharing the family crest with the enemy. And she reveals herself to be a spy and attacks. And in the end, he kills the only friend he had and possibly the woman he loved. So Ochoja, sick of the torture, goes to kill Yasuke. But at that moment, Saki enters, having trapped Nikita and Haruto after gaining control of her powers. And she proves just to be as powerful as the priest said. But she's untrained, and the priest uses his powers to grab and electrocute her. So Yasuke is able to break free in that moment. The priest transforms again into an even more monstrous form and overpowering him. But Saki then uses her powers to lift up the stone cross and just impales this dude with it, killing him. So bounty hunters take their pay off of the dead priest. Our job here is done. Take off, leaving Yasuke and Saki behind. But elsewhere, the daimyo can feel Saki's power awakening. So she summons one of her underlings, this woman, Kurosaka, empowers her with some of the dark magic, tells her, you know, hey, go get me Saki so I can feed off of her energy. It's going to give me longer life. And, you know, before she can get strong enough to beat me, if I can bring her in, then that'll make me even more powerful. So back in the village, Saki, out of the blue, suddenly remembers the doctor's name that they were going to go see. She's just like... Oh, yeah, the guy's name was Morosuke. And he's just like, oh, I know that dude. It's actually the guy we saw wielding the magic at the first battle from 20 years ago.
Oh, God.
They only called him a doctor because of his precision on the battlefield. Ichigo didn't want Saki cured. He finds out he wanted her to be trained. And he's like, all right, I'll take you to him. So as they journey, they come to a village where Kurosaka is torturing villagers for information about them. Saki convinces Yusuke to intervene, and he strikes down a bunch of the men. And Kurosaka, though, she's got magic, and she uses it to push him right to the edge in the fight. But he runs her through the katana, and she goes for one last attack with her blade, but Saki uses her powers to dissolve the blade, and seeing how powerful she is, Kurosaka runs. The two travelers make it to the next village, and they're able to connect with Morisuke. He's happy to see Yusuke, actually, fearing he might have died or left the country. He didn't really know. He lost track of him. Then he explains he started up the school to train others to use their magic, and they hope to overthrow the daimyo. So Yasuke explains that Saki has these powers, too, and needs training, and so he tests her. Morisuke throws a wooden sword at her, and she just breaks it apart and reassembles it with her magic, and they all like bow down to her, saying like, oh yeah, she's the chosen one. So elsewhere, Kurosaka returns to the daimyo asking for more power, but she just kills Kurosaka right away. She's like, you know, I'm gonna give this to somebody who can do something with this, tried some tried and true methods, and gives it back to Mitsuhide, the dark general, who then leads an army right to Morosuke's doorstep. As Yasuke and Morosuke look over the army, Saki comes under psychic attack from the daimyo. Morosuke tries to help her on this astral plane while Yasuke rides out to confront Mitsuhide face to face for the first time in 20 years. And he says, you know, Mitsuhide, you betrayed us and our people. But he's like, no, it was Nobunaga who betrayed us and our people by taking in these Western ideals, bringing a black man into his service, you know, all this stuff. With that, they begin to fight, and it doesn't really look good for Yasuke at all. When it comes clear he's losing the duel, he launches a surprise attack, sending Morosuke's soldiers out of the woods, surrounding Mitsuhide's army. Meanwhile, on the astral plane, Morosuke, he finds Saki, tries to free her, but they come under attack from the daimyo. Morosuke tells Saki only she can defeat him, or the daimyo, and, you know, she basically needs to free her mind. And she does so, you know, finding herself on the battlefield with Yasuke in spiritual form, and she uses her magic to take away Mitsuhide's power and then, you know, returns to the astral plane, forcing the daimyo to retreat. In the battle, the weakened Mitsuhide brings in mechs and other armies that, like, you know, but the bounty hunters arrive, actually, out of nowhere, having received a psychic message from Saki, and they help rout the enemy, and Yasuke finally kills Mitsuhide, taking off his head. They have a brief moment of peace before another attack begins, and many of the bounty hunters are just killed as they run for cover from this much stronger force. In the end, it's only Ochoja left, and he agrees to help with the battle for triple his rate, while Yasuke and Saki go down a secret passage to go take the daimyo head on. As they arrive at the castle, they find another large army in front of them, but she's able to use her powers to sow chaos and infighting, and in the confusion, they manage to get to the castle. Inside, Saki senses the daimyos everywhere, and soon the daimyo uses her magic to pull Yasuke under her control, and he sees her not in her monstrous form, but as Nobunaga, and she tells him to attack Saki, who he sees as the daimyo, and the daimyo is just laughing, telling Saki, you know, if you want to live, you have to kill your friend, but she refuses, and eventually Yasuke is able to see through the deception, and they attack the daimyo together. Yasuke, covered in Saki's magic, forces the daimyo to take an even larger, more hideous form, and she tries to absorb Saki. Yasuke, however, protects her with his body and is impaled. Inspired by this, Saki kind of grows these big blue wings, reaching her full potential, and defeats the daimyo just like that. And when the dust settles, she realizes Yasuke died, and she cries over his body, and the tears are able to heal him and bring him back to life, honoring his sacrifice. She realizes she no longer feels sick as well, and the dying daimyo warns that, you know, now that you've realized your power, nothing's going to feel like enough. You're gonna basically be right where I am, trying to take over the world. But she says, all I need is my friends, and they just leave that old witch to die. So back at Morisuke's, he and Achoja were able to use their magic to keep the army back. Achoja is paid very heavily in his riches. He comes out filthy rich. Yasuke and Saki return to the village, and Ichiro's family offer to take her in, despite the fact that she absolutely fucked up their child. Yasuke says this is not his home, though, and decides to go wander off, and Saki gives him Ichika's necklace as a parting gift. Sometime later, Yasuke visits Natsumara's grave and sees her little brother there, the one that he had saved in the marketplace, and he gives him back her sword and tells him, you know, she died with honor, and then disappears, free to roam wherever he wants. And if this gets a second season, I guess that's where it pick up.
Thank you for your recap, Rob.
You're very welcome.
You put a lot of hard work and effort into that recap. We get to the question portions of the show before we get into our, you know, reviews and stuff like that. And then let's just talk about it, man. One of the things I did enjoy about this was the music. The intro song specifically. Is this one of the best intro songs in the anime that we watched on the podcast? I know there's probably other intro song that you might have loved, but that we watched on the podcast. It's not, but I would tell you this. I immediately found and downloaded the song. They have a whole soundtrack to it, to this, and I feel like I'm going to probably actually go through and download listen to the whole soundtrack, because Flying Lotus, Thundercat, perfect. Perfect match in heaven. Anime intros, man. Dragon Ball Z, the original rock version of, it's too damn good, man. It's too damn good. For somebody that, you know, originally didn't grow up on rock like that, I mean, I eventually got into rock, but that was actually, I don't want to say my intro, but hearing that, I was like, I got to listen to more rock. I don't want to say another one, because I know y'all probably have the other ones. So I'll keep it at that. Dragon Ball Z, the original American intro, Rock the Dragon Ball Z. Rob.
Yeah, I agree. It's a good intro song. It's probably not my favorite. Maybe top five. Definitely top 10, I would say.
I'm sorry. I said we watched the podcast, so I said Dragon Ball Z. Yeah. So I apologize for that. So let me give my...
Immediately broke his own rule.
Immediately broke my own rule.
I'm gonna let you have it.
If you got to pick one we saw on the podcast.
Yeah. Cowboy Bebop was really good, man.
It was really good.
Cowboy Bebop was really fun.
I was thinking about that. I was thinking about saying that one. If that one's taken, I'll say one of the first. I think Ice may take this one, so I'm not going to take that one, actually. I'm going to go back. Honestly, the first Jujutsu Kaisen intro song, I got into. Like, that song became a guilty pleasure for me. I downloaded that one. It's a pretty good song. Every once in a while, if I'm just like, all right, like, I just get myself pumped up playing, like, a video game or something like that, I'll throw that on. And, that was one where they changed it halfway through. I'm talking about the first one from season one.
Did
that
they
one
go back
was pretty
to the
good.
Original one at some point, or no?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think they changed to at least one more with, like...
That was a good one. I like
that. But that first one was really good. I think that one probably edges this one out a little bit.
Okay. Nice.
I know which one Robert's referencing. Obviously, Samurai Champloo, which I feel like is the greatest intro song of all time.
Yeah.
But one that I really like, because that's kind of the easy one. The one that I really like, though, is Death Note. The Death Note.
Death Note's pretty good.
Like, it came in just so hard.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, cool.
It came in hot.
The dude was just feeling, he was in his bag. And I just had to appreciate. I didn't know what the fuck he was saying, but I had to appreciate like how hard in the paint that he went. And I even did a sketch, and I used that song in the sketch. It was a Death Note sketch. And I used that song in the sketch, and it kind of reminded me how hard that was. I'm like, yo, this is hard. I had the whole, I downloaded the whole Death Note, soundtrack. The other songs weren't that great, but that one for sure was it. But this one's up there for sure. I think, to Keena's point, Thundercat by himself is awesome. Flying Lotus by itself is awesome. Both of them together. It didn't have no, it wasn't hard hitting, but it was smooth.
Yeah,
it matched the animation, so I was with it.
It would, out of the ones that we've seen on the podcast, that's definitely top five, probably top three for me. Intro. Sure.
It's a good song. It didn't necessarily get me amped up.
Not at all. Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah,
it was just smooth. It was just like,
yeah.
And that's not their style either, cool. So I wasn't expecting that. But yeah, Samurai Champloo was a low hanging fruit. Classic. It's a classic though. It's one of the best ever. Next question. Samurai culture, there's nothing more important than honor. Mm-hmm. Is there anything, is there something that you value more than honor? Ice.
My family. I don't know if that ties into it, but from a lot of the stuff that I've seen with Japanese culture, more importantly, like more specifically samurai culture, they put honor before their family. Like usually that stuff is tied in, but when it comes down to it, if somebody has to choose like their family or honor, they're going to go honor every time. And I never really, that never resonated with me. Like, sure. I don't feel that shit at all. When I see that, there's nothing, there's no level of honor that would make me okay with you know, turning my back on either my friends or my family. Because a lot of the situations that I see when they bring honor into the picture is like, the mission was this, and they had to finish the mission and execute the mission or save their friends or family. And they always choose to do the mission and fuck over their friends or family, and I would never do that. Like, if my friends' lives are on the line and it comes down to either we have to succeed and win this mission or save my friends or my family, I'm going family every time. And I can come back to my village and people say I'm dishonorable. Hey, that's cool. I'll take it. But at least my friends are alive.
I mean, they're gonna kill you for sure, but
For sure. 100%. Even the people I save will probably kill me.
Hey man, I'm back, y'all. I'm sorry I couldn't finish the mission right, but you know, my family, man, fuck all that, man. You taking 100 arrows to the face.
and your family, 9 times out of 10, how it is. Your family the ones throwing the arrows at you. And you know what? I can live with that.
You can live with Icy fucking pulling an arrow back on you. Just be like, all right, Dad, see you later, sucker.
It's like a single tear.
Yeah, just as he shoots me, that's what it is.
Because I got honor, Dad.
I hope he be plotting, though. I feel like that is something like, all right, I'm going to play along with this little game, but make sure I'm going to turn up in 15 years.
Rob.
Yeah, I mean, I just had a great answer. You know, friends and family, I think, especially family, I think are one of the most important things to me. But, yeah, I think honor does come right after that. But like to kind of relate it to the show, like if I'm in Yasuke's shoes and I find out, my friend has betrayed us, that like his friend Natsumaru or whatever,
yeah,
that she'd been working with the other clan the whole time. I'm stabbing her up too.
Yeah,
you gotta go.
You gotta go. I mean, the fact that like she betrayed the dude that gave her a chance to be a samurai. I mean, obviously she's some sort of spy and assassin in this other clan, so they must have given her some kind of chance. But from all we could tell, this Nobunaga guy was kind of taking care of them.
Yeah,
it was a good dude, and she just threw that all aside for her honor, right? Like for her family, I guess. She was like, no, like that's my original clan. I got to go with them. But like, if she had really been about something, like she probably would have been like, oh, maybe I'm on the wrong side of this or something. But yeah, no, I think like, I guess to get back to the question, like if there's something I value more than honor, I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe this counts as honor, but I'm a big proponent of like being a person of your word. Like if you say you're going to do something, do that. That's very important to me. That's very big to me. If like you say you're going to do something, you're going to help me with something, or like you're not there, like I will remember that. I will absolutely remember that.
Rob has been hurt before. You hear it in his voice. I didn't help him move before.
I'm just there with like these stacks of pizza boxes people were supposed to help me eat. So we all moved. We were all going to have pizza together. Nobody showed. No, it's all good. But like, yeah, I guess just if something that could be on that same level, just like be a man of your word, be a woman of your word.
Yeah. Damn. I mean, I think y'all both said both of the things that I would say. If family, close friends, and your word. I'm big on that too. I'm big on your word. I'm very like Rob in a sense. When you say you don't do something, and you be like, oh, I'll get you next time, but man, shut the fuck up. That's like that's immediately my reaction, man. It's like, man, shut your dumb ass up, man. I don't want to hear that shit. Because it's just like, I'd rather you tell me you can't at the beginning, and then you just lie on me. But yeah, I mean, that's I don't really have much to expand on. I guess yeah, I pretty much said it all of how I would feel in that same sense. You know, my family would definitely come. I don't know if that's honor too, like you said, but my family's definitely coming for actual honor. If this is what it is, I gotta save my family. I'm gonna do it with like, I don't give a fuck about your honor, motherfucker. Mm. It's my family out here. I'm just gonna just eat all the arrows and them, but whatever. I'll take it.
You're like a pincushion.
Yeah, and I'll be like, that's so real honor because that's my
so
family.
Then there's a level because you said close friends. So is it just like, I only know you from Instagram. You can die. Like, is it levels to it? Or if like,
I mean, my friends that I grew up with, like, or like my comedy guys now, like, you know, like, yeah, somebody that I just met in the in the comedy scene is like, can't I? I'll be like, I gotta provide for it, brother. You know, you should have made a smarter move than that.
It's like,
sorry.
We really don't even know each other that well.
Yeah, like, bro, I don't know your last name or your middle name. The fuck out of here. Peace.
Yeah, you told me good set, but.
Yeah, like, as a person, I'm gonna naturally feel bad for somebody dying. That's just like how I would naturally feel, or whatever the case may be. But
sure.
Not that I turn my back on you because I give my word, I'll take it, but you know. So, next question. Mappa, the studio behind you, just took guys on and got a high school. And the last season of Attack on Titan was a production studio of this show. Do you think the animation lived up to the name with this anime, Rob?
Pretty simply, no. I don't think that MAPPA brought their A game to this. I felt like, and I don't know if you guys felt the same, but like even just the frame rate, even in the action scenes, was just really lacking.
Yeah.
And even some of the like the character design, I thought obviously the priest guy was supposed to be like ugly and monstrous, but like I felt like his character design was so janky and kind of lame, and just it felt kind of phoned in. The whole project, as far as the animation, just I wasn't impressed. You know, especially when we just finished one of their projects and we said like, this is like possibly one of the best season ones of anything we've seen.
Exactly.
I mean, granted, the story was a big part of that, but still the animation was on point on Jujutsu Kaisen. And as much flack as we gave God of High School, like it didn't necessarily look bad.
Right.
We had some issues with the character design, but the animation itself wasn't terrible.
Right.
This felt very lacking, and I was really surprised. And again, even Andrea, who doesn't watch a lot of anime, kind of just like, this doesn't look that good.
Yeah. It was very choppy. And I was talking to Rob earlier, and this will probably also go on my review part too, but I felt like, I don't know if like Lakeith, if he did his voice first and then they animated it or vice versa, because there was times where he was saying things and then like visually on screen, it didn't match like the intensity or the action of his voice too much. And I was just like, even with some of the other characters too. And I was just like, what happened? Like if he's being intense right now, but his facial expression is mad regular.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is MAPPA? I was like, all right, I tried to find a budget. I didn't see the budget. I was like, this budget must have been ass. Like, that's the only thing I can think of. MAPPA was like, this is all you giving us? All right, motherfucker. We're showing you what we can do. We showed you Jujutsu Kaisen. We told you Attack on Titan. We told you got to high school. You see what we can do. And we're going to give you $50,000. All right, this is what you're going to get in return.
Yeah.
And, yeah, this the animation on here was doesn't do them justice at all. Ice?
Yeah, if I've never seen MAPPA's work before and they showed me this, I would be like, well, I'm not hiring those guys.
Yeah.
So I think that's good on MAPPA to have an extensive library just in the past decade of how well they've done. And I think if somebody didn't know MAPPA and they wanted to hire MAPPA, Yusuke is not in their portfolio. That's not something that they're showing unless they want to show, unless they're trying to get a diversity grant or something like that, or they want to say, hey, we make black people too. Like, that would be the only way. I would say that the voice acting was a big thing for me, and I know we kind of touched on it these past couple weeks, but like Invincibles, voice acting, like I never really tripped off voice acting before because usually I'm watching dub, sub, so they, you know, it's all that stuff is always off a little bit, but after watching Invincible these past couple weeks and seeing like the top tier voice acting, I've been more intentional and like paying attention to stuff like that. And seeing it on this, I was like, what's going on? What's going on? You think that there's like, this is sub.
Yeah, we're gonna get into that because we had a discussion earlier too about that too.
I just, the animation again, it was choppy. The fight scenes, Choppy, to your point as well. And a lot of times I'm like, damn, Mappa did this? Mappa did this? Yeah. And it was like, it does feel like it's phoned in. It feels like, and I'll talk about it a little bit more in my review, but it feels like everybody involved was doing something while they were making this. Like,
I can see that.
But like, to your point, Keenan, saying like, it is interesting. I'd be interested to find out if they did the animation or the voice recording first, because with Invincible, like, I follow one of the guys that worked on the storyboard for Invincible on Twitter, just because I like some of his other work. He just happened to work on it. Mm. And he mentioned in one of his posts, he animated that scene on the mountainside with like the think, Mark, think. Yeah. He did the storyboard for that. And he's like, I got the voice acting for my, like, they already gave me the performance, but when I got to work on those frames, so he used that voice acting to like use those poses, so that their that great performance gave them the inspiration to put in that animation and that visual and those facial expressions, and clearly it didn't come through here.
I always wanted to see, when it comes to voiceover too, I want to see them, I always want to see the behind the scenes stuff like that, and them in the booth and how they're acting, because I know what's the dude Nana did that was Zombie Man. What's his name? I forgot his name.
Oh, J.K. Simmons.
Man, I know he's in that booth acting a fool in that scene.
Yeah.
I say Omni Man. What? What happened?
What? Nothing. I thought you said Zombie Man. I'm like, who the fuck is that?
No, I was like, Omni Man. Yeah, I bet he's in the booth just like, he was probably losing his shit, like going crazy.
Like a vein popping out of his forehead.
Yeah, that's some
and
dope.
Speaking of LaShawn Thomas, too, like, I've watched the Boondocks voice acting stuff and them in the booth, and they're like, it's hilarious just watching them, like I forgot the guy's name, but the dude that plays Uncle Ruckus, like, you can see that they're really he really embodying a racist ass black person, like,
yeah. Regina King was a monster in there too. She was just flipping between Riley and Huey. Incredible. Next question, did the magical elements of this anime hurt or help? Ice.
Hurt. It definitely hurt it. Mm. I think that I'll give them this. They did a good job of establishing it early, because you don't want it to be on some God of High School stuff where the last two episodes, all these magical elements come out of nowhere. So I give them that for at least establishing that there's magical elements here. They opened up with magical elements. They opened up with mechs. Cool. Got it. But they just was like, we're going to open with it, and then we're just going to keep it there, and we're just going to OD on it. We're just going to just give you all the magic and all the stuff, and it's like, I didn't ask for this. I didn't want this. Like, I did not ask for any of this. I was cool with a black samurai. Why couldn't we just, just stay there? Why couldn't we just stay there, guys? Why are we here? None of this is, like, none of that is really relevant to everything else, and yeah, I think it hurt it. It hurt it 100%.
Right. Yeah, I agree. It hurt. It felt like, I guess, to borrow from another anime we watched, Paprika, you know, you just need a little bit of it, right, to influence the dish. And they felt like they just put the whole damn jar in there. Like, even if they had just, like, maybe one or two of the things, like, okay, it's about Yasuke, and he's a great swordsman, but he also has to contend with, like, these people that have magic. Yeah. Fine. I can deal with just, like, just the blue magic and the purple magic, like, cool. That's all it needs to be. But the fact that they added in, like, mechs and, like, werebears and, like, all these other different kinds of, like, magic stuff, it's just, like, it was too much. It felt like they threw the kitchen sink at this thing. Yeah. And it just, at one point, it just felt ridiculous. And it took me out of it. But I agree. Like, I think this show could have been fine with less magical elements. But I think, is it a better show with no magical elements? I think, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I feel like this was like three or four different worlds.
Yes.
Yeah. I was just like, what is happening? That's all I kept saying when I was just like seeing the Beast Girl and the magic. I was just like, oh, shit. I mean, Robin and I were talking earlier, man, and I said the same exact thing, man. The magic is fine. I don't have an issue with the magic. But if you're going to give us magic, at least make him be a beast to where people need magic to beat him or something. Then it didn't explain, which is like, sometimes it's cool to not explain, but you didn't explain nothing.
Yeah.
We don't know nothing about this world and why any of this shit's going on in the sense of magic mechs or any of this stuff. Beast women.
All I said at one point is just like, oh, well, the Mongols had mechs and then we stole that technology. It's like, but they still are eating like candlelit dinners. Like, how do you have mechs and no like anything else. Like this mech even says I've got like infrared vision, like yada yada, night vision, and like how does this a world where that exists, but they don't have electricity? I don't understand.
I mean, I would assume the mech had electricity. I don't know. I just know 2 + 2 = 4, and this shit was not adding up. That's what the fuck was happening.
Fair
to
enough.
Me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't have hair, but I was grabbing like air, like just air, just like
air,
just. Ah! All right, next question. Do you think Yusuke could beat Manji from Blade of the Immortals?
I think this is a close fight.
Close?
I think this is close. And I think I get the edge. I think I get the edge to Yasuke. But this, like, the one, like, I know we were all kind of saying, like, this is going to give us, like, I certainly came in with the expectations of, like, a Samurai Champloo vibe. But what I walked away from this was with a Blade of the Immortal vibe, honestly.
That's not good at all.
It's not what you want to walk away with. Yeah. So if I saw these two match up, like, I don't think Yasuke would beat many of the other characters on Blade of the Immortal.
Shit, no.
But Manji? I mean, he's got a good chance. Manji's not very good. Manji does not beat very many people. And his whole thing is, like, just losing arms and limbs. And, like, the one thing, like, you can say about Yasuke is, like, when he didn't go up against somebody with magic, he definitely got winded in that one scene when he was an older dude. But when he was in his 20s, and, like, when he was in his 20s, he cut some people down. Mm. And later on, when they go to the Daimyo's castle, like, he's one-shotting people. So he's clearly got some skill. I think he takes out Manji.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, too. I think he's also smart enough to be like, all right, you have these limbs. As soon as I cut them off, I'm going to make you a fucking vegetable, pretty much. So I'm going to just grab these legs. I'm going to toss them far away. You can't get to them. I'm going to put them on a fucking boat. They're going to sail off, and he's going to be sitting there.
Put him on his boat.
Yeah, and then he might just leave you there with your head still intact just to fuck with you. Just be like, all right, man, I didn't want to have to do this to you, but I did. So now you have no limbs. And then, yes. And then, well, yeah, because Manji is just, he's fucking ass. You know,
he's bad.
He's like, he can't fight. He's just like, bitch, I'm immortal, bitch. Now, arms attaching back. And that's really it. That's all he really has skill-wise. But like,
that's really it. Like, that immortality is really a curse for him because you can't fight.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
Yeah,
it's not like Vegeta getting immortality.
And what was crazy in that show, at the beginning of it, they showed like he was dope at first. Like Manji, like I think he cut down like 100 soldiers.
Yeah.
People. Yeah, 1,000 people, whatever it was. So he was technically dope. He probably just said, I don't give a fuck anymore. But to your point, just to make another quick point to what Rob said, that's all he's beaten in Blades of Immortals. I think almost everybody else is washing Yusuke's ass. Like
Morpheus with his like ring things or whatever, that guy's taking him
old
out.
Old girl with the swinging whatever, she's smoking him. Not even close. Ice.
Rob, I got a question. As far as like martial arts is concerned, because I'm just kind of attributing this to sword fighting, how easy is it to pick it back up 20 years later?
Well, I mean, there's like some stuff, like a whole bunch of like martial arts is like muscle memory, right? It's building up, like, so you don't think about it. It's just like your first reaction. So like some things are going to be there, but obviously like, because it's been about maybe 15, 20 years for me at this point, and there's definitely stuff I forgot. Like I would remember some basics, like some techniques, but like there are these whole like, you know, katas and yada, that kind of stuff, like that's gone. That's off the hard drive at this point.
So I asked that because like, it just depends on what Yusuke is fighting. I think both Yusuke's would watch Manji, but when you talk about the larger conversation of like the rest of the world, I feel like he would have a chance if it was a young version of him, like him at his peak.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he would have a chance. I feel like he wouldn't get washed. He'd probably end up losing. He'd probably end up dying, but I feel like he's going to hold his own because one thing, he's very adaptive. Like he looks at stuff, he puts stuff together. He's very tactical, so he'll probably have some stuff set up on some like Goblin Slayer level type shit, like even before the fight. Like, it's just one of those things. Like, does he know that's going to be there, his opponent or not? Like, if they just catch each other, which the majority of the fights were just people catching each other, most of the Blades of Immortal fights were just people catching each other and fighting. If it was one of those, I feel like he'd be at a disadvantage. But if he knows he's about to go up against the dude or the lady, then I think like he'll be better suited.
He did get complimented on his like tactical mind a few different times.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
I that's a fair point.
All right, next question. Is there any other anime where all the side characters outshine the most interesting and the main character like this one? At least off the top of my head, I really can't think of any right now off the top of my head. And even when I was thinking about this last night, like when I wrote this, I don't know if I can think of a character that's the main character, and then damn near every character was more important, it seemed like, more fun to watch, more just enjoyable than the main character. I was thinking maybe Evangelion, because I didn't care for Senji like Senji. That. I like the side characters were kind of dope in that show.
Yeah, I could see that.
Iron Blooded Orphans, the main character was...
Mika,
right? He was a main character, right?
I guess so. It's like him and Orga, kind of like the two.
Yeah, if you're saying it's Orga, then I can see. I liked, you know, Akihiro. I like a couple other side characters, yeah. You know. Other if it was just Orga, if he's a main character, so maybe that. But this show was just like it. To me, was obvious that he was the weakest link in a sense of like interest, and it seemed like that was it wasn't supposed to be that way, but it just happened to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a couple that are arguably in this category. I feel like Jujutsu Kaisen, Itadori is not in my top five. If you ask me who my favorite characters from the show,
but
is,
were they? When he's was is, he super outshined? That's what I'm saying. He's super outshined. He wasn't necessarily super out like outshined or more interesting. There was other doper characters that we liked better than him, but that out necessarily outshined him. He had still had some of the biggest moments in his own anime.
But is he? He's not doing a lot of those moments by himself. Like, what moment did Itadori have that was, like, by himself outside of the first curse that they went across? Everything else, he was with Toto or Gojo pulled up and or the girl with the doll was there with him. Like, he's always with somebody. He ain't never really had a solo moment where it's like, damn, Itadori, that dude. Like,
yeah.
So I think Itadori would be somebody because I didn't really care for him. I think the story with him and Sukuna and stuff is cool. And it's like if somebody said they like, I made this point last week. It's like, if somebody said that it was his favorite character, like, I wouldn't be screw-faced about it. But if you ask me my top five favorite characters, I don't say Itadori to about maybe 7 or 8. And I think from a complexity standpoint, story standpoint, and even, like, handling business standpoint, it's just like Itadori was kind of whatever. I think, too, One Punch Man, I think I know he had his moments and he a dog, but when I'm thinking about who you care about the most, like, I fuck with Genos more than I do One Punch Man, honestly. Mm-hmm. Even though he gets washed all the time. Like, I like him better. I mean, there's a couple shows. Mob Psycho, I feel like Mob, he handles business, but there are much more interesting characters than Mob, but Mob was dope.
Mm-hmm.
And then Goblin Slayer, I feel like, even though the five people that were with him were not that cool, I think that I enjoyed, like, the Lizard Man and the Troll more than Goblin Slayer.
Every time... Ice has to fit in Goblin Slayer in our anime talks. He slips that fucking anime in here. We want to forget about it, man.
Leave it in the past. Let the past die.
Rob?
I agree with Ice, actually, that, you know, there's a lot of... I think there are shows where maybe not necessarily outshine, because certainly, you know, being a main character, a lot of those main characters get, like, their moment to shine on their own.
Right.
But as far as, like, a main character, or I'm sorry, a more interesting character, like, your favorite character, I think there's a good amount of shows where people will... You could ask 10 people, like, who's your favorite show on, or who's your favorite character on, like, My Hero, and, like, none of them say Deku.
Well, yeah, if you're talking about if you're talking about favorite characters, absolutely. Damn near every show, the main character is not necessarily my favorite character.
Yeah.
For sure.
I'll even say, and maybe, I don't know, maybe this will be controversial. Certainly, he doesn't necessarily get outshined, notoriously does not get outshined by any other character on the show. But as far as, like, being way more interesting, I'm going to say Goku. Like, like almost nobody says Goku is their favorite character, and he's kind of just, like...
True.
He's pretty boring as a character at this point. Yeah, like, after he doesn't even get mad about shit anymore. It doesn't even seem like it's like I don't understand what is interesting about Goku. Like at this point, like, you know, where it's just like people want to see Vegeta. I want to see Gohan get back to where he's at. Like, even Piccolo and what he's going through a lot of the time is more interesting than what Goku has to say about anything, or future Trunks, even like with his whole backstory. Like, all of that is way more interesting than anything Goku has going on these days.
He's literally the plot armor, because it's like I feel like even though Akira Toriyama doesn't fuck with like Vegeta like that, they're still giving him the best like backstories and best like, you know, like character development way more than the main character. Whereas Goku just like, oh, he's the strongest, I want to fight the strongest, and it's just like, Dog, you're not fighting for family no more, nothing.
I've seen like people like talk about this as a critique of saying, okay, Goku doesn't evolve, he doesn't have an arc. It's more about how he influences the people around him, and that's how the story's told. And I can see that it doesn't make him interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I agree. He's funny from time to time, but I still like, yeah. But Toriyama's gonna, you know, as soon as Vegeta gets powered up,
it's never gonna happen.
Goku's gonna come in.
I mean, the Blaze of the Immortal guy too.
We're talking about somebody that got outshined.
Everybody was more interesting, and everybody outshined him. Like all the critique. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
That's 100% true.
That is true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. My bad. I don't know why I couldn't think of any. I was just drawing like a brain fart that whole time. I was just like, but then, because this is like, we'll get into it in a review. All right, last question. With historical persons or events, what historical person or event would you want to see turned into an anime, Rob?
So they got some lip service on the show, but I'd love to see something about like Genghis Khan as an anime. I feel like that would be super cool. Like he fought everybody across Asia, whether it was like the Russians, the Chinese, he tried to invade Japan. He even, I think, made it into like Poland at one point. Like you can see a ton of different enemies that he would go up against and tons of different styles he could fight against. And like, as he's just getting older and like, you know, bringing people in and like bringing his army together. And one thing that Genghis Khan did that is like such an anime trope is just like, if he fought against somebody that he was just like, oh, this dude is good. Like if this dude is like really strong, he would usually bring that guy onto his side afterwards. Yeah, like there's a story about like he was in some battle and some archer like literally shot his horse out from underneath him. And he found that guy after and was just like, you want to work for me? And I mean, obviously the guy's like, it's probably that or get killed. But the guy's like, yeah, sure, I'll come work for Genghis Khan. What the fuck? Why not? So I'd love to see that. I think it'd be super cool. Like, you know, it'd be a ton of action on it too. That's for sure.
Yeah. Ice?
For me, it would be, without question, it'd be Toussaint Louverture, the Haitian that fought the French resistance when they tried to, when they did enslave Haiti, and then he was a slave, and then Napoleon came down with the French, and they tried to invade Haiti, and he was just like, nah, fam, we're not going out like that. And they ran the French up out of there, so I think that was pretty cool. I've always when I came across him in like seventh grade, eighth grade.
I can hear you say because I was distracted. Who'd you say?
Toussaint.
Oh, Toussaint. Yeah.
Yeah. When I think because my dad told me a story of just like I was like, hey, if you didn't name me my name, what would be my name? He was like, well, I had a couple other names for you, and Toussaint was one of the names. And I was like, well, where'd you get that from? And then he told me about it. Then I like immediately looked into it, read into it, and like seventh or eighth grade, and then I just always been obsessed with him ever since. So I think that'd be dope just to see him whoop the French's ass during that time period, especially Napoleon Bonaparte when he thought he was on, you know, he was taking over everything.
So yeah, yeah.
I think that was really cool, and he won. Like I think that's the biggest thing is a lot of these, you know, Nat Turner S stories. It's like we don't end up winning, and in the end of them. So I think it'd be cool to actually see a story where we win.
Yeah. I mean, to add to that point, I had two actually, but to add to your point was Marcus Garvey. I would love to see like that, just that Haitian revolt, and to see like how they use voodoo and if they would animate that and fucking just how they, you know, the Haitians use voodoo to actually to get the upper hand. I think that'd be cool. Super fucking dope.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he took the W's, you know what I'm saying? He was out there making moves, and you know, he's like the father of Pan-African. But then also too, I mean, after seeing this kind of comic book, I would love to see Harriet Tubman, the vampire, like the vampire slayer or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Get animated. Like that comic book is pretty fucking dope.
Really?
It's just like murdering fucking vampires. And it's just like, seeing that animated and it's already in comic book form, or it's in comic book form. It's not considered a manga.
I never even heard of it.
Yeah, I think it got a few volumes out. I think I would just love to see that as a show. I think it would be good as a show as is, because I think it would be pretty fucking gruesome. I don't know if it'd be as gruesome as, you know, Invincible, but it might be up there. it might be actually up there with that.
And that's interesting too, because that sounds like it's a historical story, kind of like this one, where they added in a magical element, but it sounds like it worked in this one.
Yeah, at least in the comic book, it's been doing pretty well. So yeah, those two, Marcus Garvey and and Harry Tubman, the Vampire Slayer, I would love to see just that animated, how they would do it, and it'd be super cool, I think. So that's the end of the question portion of the show.
Real quick, before you start, I got a question for both of y'all. When you got from a ratings perspective, how do you guys rate stuff? Do you start at zero and be like, this is dope, 1,000, this is dope, 500? Or do you start at 9,000 and work your way down? Or do y'all just watch it and be like, ah, this is around this number?
I'm probably the third one. I try to think of it as like an out of 10 type of score. Because if you start at zero and go to 9,000, like you can kind of like be like, all right, zero to 1,000, that's like, you know, 1 to 10, or I don't know. I'm talking myself in circles at this point, but I try to think of it as almost like a letter grade or something like that.
Yeah, I normally just watch and then rate. I don't start from top or bottom like that, just because I don't know. That's just how I've always kind of rated it. I wanted to just impact. I go in it with a clear mind, in a sense, and then just let it impact me and see how I feel.
Do you go in with like a checklist of just like check, that's 1,000 off, check,
because
that's
1,000 off. I wanted to do that originally for our scores when we first started giving scores. I wanted to like, all right, let's rate it off animation, story, character development. But I feel like that might have been too much, I guess, each time. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm more in a sense of, like, a feeling. Like, I'm watching something, I'm like, this feels like, because I know what I usually reference other stuff, so I know how 8,500 feels. I know how 8,000 feels. I know how 9,000 feels. So it's like, this feels like a 6,500. That's not my score. I'm just using this as reference. Like, this feels like this number when I'm watching it. That's how I go about it.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, because if I'm thinking, like, okay, I just gave Jujutsu Kaisen an 8,000. Was this as good as that? You know, that's kind of where I try to think about what we've rated recently that I can remember and try to compare from there.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to the ratings. Rob, you want to lead us off?
Sure. this was a mess. things just happened like for no real reason. It just seemed like things just kind of happened. Like, you know, the thing that stuck out the most to me is kind of like nobody knew how or where to find the doctor, and then all of a sudden they did, and they were like, oh yeah, like we'll just head up north until we find this guy, like, because now we have his name, even though the girl an episode or two ago I had no idea. Anyway, to get into my favorite and least favorite parts, my favorite part is when they started that fight on the river, actually, when like all the bounty hunters had him surrounded.
Yeah.
And it starts off with Yasuke nailing the shaman in the nose with the spear, and he breaks his nose, and right off I was like, ooh, this is gonna be cool.
Yeah.
And it peaked there and never came back. So that, even that's that one shot, I was like, okay, that's clever. Like, it shows me this guy can fight with his head. Like, how's this gonna go from here? And that was I think the last time I felt excited. My least favorite part about the show is just that, like, things just kind of happened because they had to happen. Like, this girl like goes into the astral plane or whatever, and it's just like, oh, we need help. Let me reach out to these bounty hunters. And then they're just there immediately. Just like, oh yeah, she reached out to us, so here we are. And they just showed up. And then, oh yeah, Mitsuhide is going to bring another army in. Like, he's immediately there. There's no time that expires between that, really. Like, it just immediately happens. And then even when they're just like, oh, like, we're going to go through the secret passageway, like, and then they're just right, they literally walk right to the bad guy's, like, front door. And if you're either they're badly representing the passage of time, or Morisuke built his whole resistance. He had the entire continent of Japan to build up his school in resistance, and he built it walking distance from the Daimyo's palace. It's those two things. And it just doesn't make any goddamn sense. So there was just no logic on the show. It really frustrated me. I was bored to tears, honestly, a lot. I was fighting to stay awake through a lot of this. Which really bummed me out, because I can't think of a project I wanted to like more than this one recently. Like, I love Lakeith Stanfield. I really wanted to kind of see what he was going to bring to this table. The story sounded interesting, and it just... it didn't live up to it. It didn't live up to the hype. God, for a score though, I'm gonna give this a 4,000.
Okay. Likes. I like the mech dude that was like considered, I guess, that was going after Yusuke at first.
Okay. Yeah.
That had the glitches. I liked him. He had a few funny moments. Made me laugh. I felt bad when he got it. He's like, oh, so we're friends? Like, that's what a friend is? And then she fucking dies. But then he sacrifices himself. I thought that was pretty dope. It takes out like a nice
That was
little,
pretty cool.
Yeah, that's like a pretty...
It wasn't Vegeta level.
No,
not at
he
all.
Did, but he didn't win the war, though.
But he also wasn't sacrificing for his kids, either. You know what I'm saying? He was sacrificing for a girl that he just became his friend.
She was useless, by the way.
Mad she useless.
Didn't do anything.
For such a cool character design, she was garbage.
She didn't do anything.
Dislikes, there's a lot, man. Voiceover wise, man, this was tough to listen to. Voiceover wise, I don't know if it's gonna mess up opportunities for me in the future, but fuck it. I love Lakeith Stanfield. This is just me being. I love Lakeith Stanfield as an actor. I think he's one of the dopest up and coming actors. But voiceover wise, I don't know what was happening. I felt like he wasn't choosing, like, I don't know if he was remembering the original voice that he might have did for the character at one point, because his voice sounded like three different voices at one point. Even when it was in the same scene, it wasn't, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like, I'm not talking about the younger version and the older version, like in the same scene.
Yeah.
Even the girl, I feel like she kind of struggled voiceover wise. I feel like everybody else is kind of strong, though. Everybody else is pretty good. Animation, oh man, this is rough. MAPPA's, from what I've seen, MAPPA's lower quality work. They could have just, like, this is about a black samurai, and you threw all this magic in here, but then you made the black samurai a decent samurai fighter. Like, he was good.
Right.
He wasn't amazing. You know what I'm saying? If everybody else got magic, this motherfucker got to be amazing, dog. He got to be dope to where it's like, damn, like, he's incredible. How do you have two black guys on the show, right? Mm-hmm. Which is fine. I understand this is Japan, so it shouldn't be more than two black guys, or even one, right? But the black guy that the show is about is the second best black guy. That makes no... The other dude was dope as hell. Like,
he was pretty cool.
He was tight. When he put that big old kind of like thing around him and he went outside and started fucking shit up, I was like, this dude is tight. But I don't know what they were thinking, like, in a sense of, like, story, or, like, who created story-wise. I don't know how much they truly, truly watch anime. I did read up on it. Like, they wanted to touch on some mental health issues. But I think you could have still touched on that and still made this anime. I feel like the story was weak because you didn't follow the actual story that at least that's out there, which is fine. We talked about earlier, it didn't necessarily need magic. So it could have been literally a dope-ass samurai show, like Samurai Champloo, in the sense of, like, the fighting styles are dope, and it's just like you just pick a style to who has what style, and that's how you fight with it.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been cool with that. Damn, bro. Like Rob said, I was amped. I was hyped. I wanted this to be the new, like, the standard for black anime, that, or at least of a main character that's a black anime character. And I just wish it was better. That I'll keep my words there. I wish it was better. 4,200. Ice.
We're all just, nobody's mad. Everybody's just disappointed.
Right. That's the main thing.
And I feel like that hurts more than somebody being mad. At least mad is a genuine emotion. I mean, disappointed is too, but you get what I'm saying. I just was... And I don't want to be the, anime guy, but I feel like everybody involved with this doesn't watch anime. Like, they're not even casual level fan. I feel like people that did this, everybody involved, is somebody who maybe seen maybe three or four animes, and they tried to implement the three or four animes that they watched.
Yep.
And again, I don't want to be an elitist anime, because there are troves of people that have watched more anime than myself.
Yeah.
But if you're going to create something and call it anime or anything, if you're going to create rap and call it rap, if you're going to create, at least do your homework on what it is. And I just feel like everybody involved has so much clout, and they were just like, hey, I want to make an anime. And they was like, Netflix was like, all right, fuck it, go for it. You got Flying Lotus? Oh shit! Lakeith Stanfield, LaShawn Thomas.
Yeah, the names behind it were big. Yeah.
Yeah. Go for it, guys. Give you six episodes. We'll go grab MAPPA. Give them $2 and make it. Hell yeah, it'd be great.
And that's exactly what happened. I feel like nobody really did. Like, everybody was working on something. I feel like Keith was probably doing Judas and the Black Messiah or Atlanta. LaShawn Thomas was probably working on some Thundercat. I say that like they had a big part of it. Flying Lows, everybody, I feel like everybody was working on a big project at the time, and they was like, oh, shit, I got to go. Lakeith was like, let me go in here and do these vocals real quick. Let me send my vocals over for Yasuke and then go back and do his Judas and the Black Messiah scene. Like, I feel like there was just, everybody was doing something else. Nothing was focused.
Mm. Yeah.
Even Mappa was like, hey, we over here doing season 4 of Attack on Titan. Oh, don't forget Yasuke. Oh, yeah, let me go do that real quick.
Oh, I mean, like, shit. Yeah, forgot about that.
But that's how it is. I felt like everybody had something bigger that they were working on, and this was on the back burner.
Yeah.
And they finished it. And it just feels like that. And I'm like y'all. I was hyped. Samurai in general, I'm in.
That makes more sense about what you're saying, to be honest, which they could have been distracted by shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what it is. Because, you know, we're busy, and it's a lot for us to do it. And we're not busy to their level of busy.
Very true. Very true.
So I feel like they just had, especially somebody like Lakeith, that's just who has exploded these past 3 to 4 years.
He's had like the Midas touch. Yeah. Like everything's been good.
Yeah.
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 He has exploded. And the way that his schedule is probably insane. I'd highly doubt he was in and out. That's probably why the voices sound so different.
You sounded tired.
Different scene.
You sounded tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And I think that's really what it is. And it came across, you know, and all forms. I guess to say what I like, the scene that I like the most, or what part I like the most, is when those guards finally found him and the girl, and they was about to kill that person, and Yasuke stepped in and then, you know, sliced the dude's head off and then killed the rest of the guards, and then like right before the girl showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was a cool scene, and he even had a cool line, and they was like, oh, I paid, you know, I'm glad you killed him. I didn't have to pay him. He was like, well, shit, whatever you was paying him, it was too much. Like, cause I just watched all of them easy, and I ain't been doing nothing in 20 years. So I think that was cool. But yeah, I just think they dropped the ball. They dropped the ball. I feel like if they grounded it more, get all that magical bullshit out of here, because it didn't hurt. It didn't help the story, and just focus on a dope ass samurai anime with cool scenes, a main character that I believe in, and that's like at least in the top three strongest.
Yeah.
Especially in 6 episodes, it'd be different if you didn't start off good and you got better over the 4 or 5 seasons. In 6 episodes, you need to be the coldest motherfucker there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got much time.
Yeah, and I was even saying this to Keenan, like, before the fact, like, what does this dude want other than to just be left alone? Like, he doesn't have any drive or connection to any of these characters or what they want.
Yeah.
He's just along for the ride.
Yeah. And everybody's doing something like there's 60 episodes. Like, fam, you got 6. Like, let's get to it.
Yeah.
And it's just like so many ideas at once. Overall, I just hope this isn't one thing, last thing I'll say about it. I just hope this isn't something. I think did they get a season 2, you said, King?
I thought they got I thought it said there's going to be some more episodes from.
Okay.
I got to dig deeper, but I thought it said that.
I'll do a quick Google while you're wrapping up your thoughts.
I just don't want this to be a thing where it's like, we try, like, Keenan and I make an anime and we go to Netflix and like, well, we try, Yasuke, and it really didn't, you know, go over too
and they're,
well.
They're stars. They're bigger, you know, they're bigger than you guys. So what makes you think you can do something better than them if they're.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I just hope it doesn't turn into one of those, because I do feel like,
I think ratings-wise it was doing well, at least in the sense of, like, viewership when it first came out. So it probably,
I'm seeing here that it has not yet been greenlit for a second season.
Cool.
Okay. And they bet not. Netflix is a motherfucking lie if they try to say that they can't afford it, because they didn't put no money into it. So, overall, I'm right there with you guys in the 4,000s. A little bit higher than y'all, though. I'll give it a 4,500.
All right, well, what do y'all think in the comments section, man? What is y'all overall score of this anime? I was reading some reviews online, and they're all over the place, to be honest.
Yeah,
it was like 1 star, 1 to 2 stars, and then some 5 stars. It was just like there wasn't a lot of in betweens. So it's I don't know.
Would you guys recommend this? Yes or no?
I wouldn't. I don't think I would. I wish I could. I just. Because it's one of those things where it's like, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen. Like, I was even saying this to Keenan before. I'm like, is this as bad as Gangsta? It's like, I don't think so. Right. But Gangsta was, like, kind of so bad that we, like, laughed about it. That I'd be like, I don't know, maybe check Gangsta out. Like, there's some fun to be had in there. Like, this was just so middle-of-the-road bad that it's, like, kind of not exceptional in any way, unfortunately. It just kind of felt... like, here it is, and there's so many different things. Yeah, they just threw in so many different things that it didn't feel like anything actually got any amount of attention that it deserved. So, personally, it's a no for me.
I would say support it. I would definitely say support it. I was talking to Bomani in there about it, and I was just like, I mean, you kind of look like him. So, I was just like, you kind of look like Yusuke. So, I would say, because he wanted to watch it. So, I would say, since you wanted to watch it, watch it. I'm not going to say don't watch it, but... if you watch, he watches anime also, and he's just like, all right, I was going to watch it anyways. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to say don't watch this shit, because it's only six episodes. It's not too much that you got to, it's not going to, like, destroy you. Even with Cam was just like, I think Cam still said he's going to watch it also. So I say support it, and but I do want to know what you think when you do watch it. Nice.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. I think to your point, you do make a good point. It's like, to support it. One of my friends, I haven't told her that I watched it yet because we were supposed to watch it together. So
you're going to have to watch it again?
I'm going to have to watch it again and then just act like this shit is brand new to me.
That's tough.
When is this episode dropping again?
next Monday. You got a week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I would just – it'll be – I can really act like I haven't seen it before because – nothing in there blew me away till I was like, oh shit, this is about to happen. Like, I could really just watch it straight face the whole way again.
That's not what you want to hear.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, go ahead and just drop our ratings. I mean, not our ratings, I'm sorry, our names. Keenan Baker on everything. Anime Shun podcast on everything. Brennan is best. Is that it?
Brennan's bitch.
Yeah. Brennan the best on his social medias, Rob.
Yeah, you can find me RV Danger on Instagram, RV Danger 44 on Twitter. I've been a little bit more active over there these days. I also want to give a quick shout out to Herd the Nerds. It's a podcast. My buddy Keith runs Herd, as in, like, you know, here, HEARD. I was a guest on a couple episodes they did on Star Wars. They did. We did a deep dive on the Clone Wars and just kind of talking about the futures of Star Wars, which we talked about Star Wars Visions that's coming out this year, which is going to be Star Wars stories told by anime animators and writers. I'm really excited for it because I really want to see how that turns out. So check them out. Herd the Nerds.
Nice. It's so funny talking to Rob or Cam about Star Wars because I know a good amount, but then I start talking to them about it and then they go somewhere I've never even thought of. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to just get out this fucking conversation right now. Yeah. I apologize for thinking that.
Nowhere near.
Cam's got it tattooed on his body.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so, like, even this was before the tattoo. Like, I remember talking to Cam about Clone Wars and we just had it started off as a real casual conversation. And then within 3 minutes, I had no idea where we were at. I'm like, how are we here? How did we get here, Cam? I'm sorry. But yeah, you can find me on ice.mcgowan. We got some content for you. I've been making some content for you guys. It's a series I'm going to start through Anime Shun called How Would They Win, where I pit two people that shouldn't be fighting against each other. And I talk about how that person, you know, the weak person, how they would win that fight.
That's so awesome.
Got that coming. Check out that stuff when it drops.
All right. Yeah, well, we got some things coming for you guys in the future. Probably even some new formatted type stuff for the podcast. So thank you for tuning in to another episode of Anime Shun. We out.
And so anime was solved forever.